Well, before I begin my sermon today, a word of gratitude. Gratitude for the opportunity to be called as your next executive pastor at Bethel Lutheran Church. I am delighted at this wonderful calling to serve Bethel, to continue in a future that we share together, and to do ministry among you and with you. I'm excited about the great gifts of this congregation and the work we are called to do together to proclaim the gospel. We have had faithful and solid leadership in these past 24 plus years from Pastor Wall, and I look forward to building on that foundation. Yet all the work we do is the work guided by the Holy Spirit, abundantly blessed by God's promises in Jesus Christ. So no matter what the future holds, we live in this great hope, and we have faith for all that is to come. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as was mentioned earlier, Bethel will be using these summer months to divide the very familiar verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 into a three-part emphasis on faith, hope, and love. Now, these verses, as Pastor Wall mentioned last Sunday, are usually focused upon at any number of weddings we pastors have officiated, or perhaps you as guests have attended. So they are very familiar words to us. Yet they are not just for the use of at weddings and romantic love, but words from the Apostle Paul grant us a framework for living fully into the Christian life. Well, speaking of weddings, one of the most unique weddings that I attended as a guest many years ago happened rather impromptu in a park with just a handful of people in attendance. The bride and the groom were very, very young. They weren't interested in anything too fancy. So both dressed very simply for the day, a pair of jeans and a fresh white t-shirt. In fact, each of their t-shirts had something written on them. The groom's t-shirt said, hers, and the bride's t-shirt said, his. This simple service included 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as its scripture reading. And because it was informal, there was no sermon, so to speak, but rather a sharing of thoughts among the guests as to what marriage and its beginnings for this couple could look like, venturing off into a future in faith. Well, one of the friends of the couple seemed to have a really deep thought that they were pondering. So I remember waiting and wondering what this young person might say. Finally, he spoke up and said, "Faith, hope, love. My advice to you is just be excellent to each other. Just be excellent to each other." In fact, when I hear that story in my head, I kind of add a surfer tone to it. Just be excellent to each other, dude. I don't know that there actually was a dude added, but it kind of makes the story a little bit brighter for me. But when I think about it, in the beginning of a marriage, to have that kind of excellence set forth right from the start, that is a good word. A good way to begin. Excellence, perfection, the goodness of creation is what God intended in the beginning, as Genesis reads for us today. Here is God's footprint of faith for all things, to set into good order that which was formless and void. Through the power of God's word alone, God speaks and calls into being all things. We repeat that intention of goodness when we confess our faith in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. We say in faith, "I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth." God has set forth by faith a fullness of creation. And while sin and brokenness infected that created goodness, God has a vision for restoration. And that restoration is accomplished through that same word. The Gospel of John speaks as an echo and a calling forth of this word, saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being." With a pronoun added to the Word, we realize the fullness of God's creation and its excellence, its perfection is in Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh to dwell among us. Now, you recall last week was Holy Trinity Sunday, a Sunday when we celebrate the fullness of God in three persons. These readings today from Genesis and the Gospel of John serve as a helpful bridge from last week to bolster our deep theological belief and understanding that God's self has been at work through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from the beginning. Our ELCA presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, shared a sermon last Sunday on Trinity Sunday. She said in that sermon, God's fullness showed up in the beginning, and that fullness continues to show up here and now. And this is because the Word is proclaimed through the work of the church, even in these difficult and challenging times. So then, it is no wonder that we can enter into our focus reading for today, the reading from Hebrews, with a kind of boldness and excellence given to people of faith who trust in this created word. There's nothing timid or hesitant to the reading from Hebrews. Listen to the power of these words. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. This is a verse that has chutzpah, it has moxie to it. And it is not because of anything we do, but because of what God has done and continues to do through the fullness of His promise and the power of His word. Faith assures us of this and grants us confidence to be courageous and to live out our faith with bold conviction. Would you describe yourself as a person with bold faith? Have you ever witnessed someone with the kind of bold faith that makes an impact? Or perhaps serves as an example for you? The kind of faith in the unknown and a certainty and trust that there is someone and there is something in a promise to carry and to continue to uphold them. I suspect if a person doesn't come to mind, perhaps that boldness can be seen each day in the beauty of creation that surrounds us. This past week, I took some vacation time with extended family that included an afternoon of floating on the Red Cedar River in Wisconsin. It was a gorgeous day, and the water felt good in the heat. As we floated, we could simply take in and enjoy the beauty all around us, listen to the sound of the water, listen to the laughter and conversations that were shared, and to listen to the sounds of birds chirping about. At one point, a bald eagle gracefully flew above and around us and perched itself on a nearby branch. Its majestic beauty was glorious to behold. It actually reminded me of the little birds in a nest that has been under our deck for many weeks. Those little birds have seemed so fragile, but then suddenly, they leave the nest and do exactly what God has created them to do. They fly and they're free. We see the power of faith in creation each time a bird takes flight, or when we plant a seed in a garden and discover that it can grow and produce something fruitful, something we may even enjoy multiplying as well, or in the graceful and delicate beauty of flowers that bloom about us. in these past months of living in the reality of a pandemic. You have perhaps enjoyed Bethel publishing devotions that members of the congregation have shared, witnesses to what gives us hope in these days. Among the many examples of hope and faith was a reflection from Tammy Gross, who currently serves on our church council. She writes about the witness of faith she finds in creation. She writes, "My work days are now different as I sit in my new sunroom office, where I'm able to view God's creation around me. These sight lines bring me comfort and grounding as I view birds come and go from the feeders and watch the herd of deer who visit our yard multiple times in a day. These visions lift my heart with a sign that some of God's creatures continue their normal routine and that nature does not change during a pandemic. My hope for us all is that we stay grounded in God's creation and give ourselves grace during this time of uncertainty and to offer extra kindness to yourself and others." Grounded in God's creation. I think that's a powerful image of faith. It is certainly where the writer of Hebrews points us as well. Verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that were not visible." When we are tempted to attribute our faith to something by which we have done, or when we feel our faith falter or become unsteady, Hebrews restores our courage by having us recall that the foundation of faith is evident in creation itself, outside of our doing, yet fully seen. Once we have this foundation, we can have courage and freedom to live the fullness of a faithful life. So we build on that foundation. Hebrews reminds us of that. But what does it mean to have a fullness of faith? To have an excellent faith? Well, Hebrews once again holds wisdom for us today. We are reminded to look to our ancestors. We look to people of faith who have gone before us, who have lived into the promise. Hebrews said, "By faith our ancestors received approval." The writer of Hebrews will go on in the following verses, which we did not read today, but list all the people who serve as our ancestors of faith, including Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, along with Isaac and Jacob, Moses, and the list goes on. And a reminder that all of these ancestors of the faith died before receiving the promise. Now, next week, we will spend a great deal of time focusing on the faith of Moses, whom Hebrews also lifts up as one led by faith, even though he himself was given only a glimpse of the promised land before he died. All faith that God's vision would one day be fully realized is the great joy of these ancestors. And it is that same faith that holds true for us. We have faith in what is seen in creation, that is promised for us in Christ's death and resurrection, but we also have faith to look for God to be and to continue to be at work restoring creation, even in what is unseen. Well, at first glance, what is seen in our world these days is especially painful. The brokenness of creation is on display in multiple ways, blurring what goodness and excellence God intends for all of his children. That brokenness is evidenced in racism, made all the more visible in the injustice done to George Floyd, but that points to multiple infractions against the goodness of Black lives. His death has brought to light centuries of systemic racism and oppression that can no longer be ignored or assumed to be unseen. Our Black brothers and sisters, all people of color who boldly tell their stories of prejudice and acts of hatred against them, have called us to listen and to examine our own biases. As a white woman, a person whose skin color affords me privileges, I have found myself repentant, doing a great deal of listening in these weeks and days. Dr. Martin Luther King has said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase." Important words for us today. As we have faith that God has a vision for something better for the fullness of all people to experience in life, so we, as the church, will continue to listen and to learn and hopefully grow toward a more full expression of the diversity and inclusivity God desires for his people and this place and time. Add to this the brokenness of creation being evident in the ongoing reality of an unseen virus that we know is not contained, but literally lurking in the air. It has made our lives anything but normal. Yet as things slowly open up, we have a bit of a sense of anticipation for perhaps re-engaging in new ways. We want to not have to worry about that which we cannot see. We can't live with a false sense of security either. We want to get back to normal. We want things to be the way they were. We want this virus to go away. And faith tells us, yes, there will be better days ahead, but they are still yet to be seen. So in the meantime, we have courage. We have courage to wait for advances in medicine and to do our part to make thoughtful decisions that will help keep especially vulnerable people well. And we try to practice grace with ourselves and with others. And we pray. People of faith, pray and pray and pray. Pray for patience, to trust that God will restore the fullness of life. So faith encourages us in this day, through God's word, to seek out new beginnings, to take courageous steps forward, even if that fullness is yet to be seen. And faith grounds us in God's creation to trust that God will work out something far more excellent than we can even imagine for all God's people. And faith ultimately gives us courage to trust that from Jesus' fullness, we have all received grace upon grace.